Good morning once again. Thank you, Jim, for that selection of songs. Appreciate it. And what a privilege it is to be here to worship God this morning. I think yesterday we went to Holiday World, and you know, when you're a kid, you were going and you did something that you really wanted to go do, and you were looking forward to it. So the whole car ride there, you were just excited, couldn't wait to get there. How many of us feel about that way about coming to worship service on Sundays? Something to think about, okay? Just something to think about. This morning's lesson, probably going to be one of my briefer ones. Sometimes I feel like I get a little too long, you know, so I'm going to try to cut it back a little bit intentionally this morning, all right? But it's a very basic lesson. Sometimes I think going back to basics is sometimes warranted because it helps us to remind us where we came from. I'm going to show some pictures up here and just kind of let you look at them, okay? Tristan, what is that? All right, where's it at? Yeah, it's in Agra, India. Okay, all right, next one, Colosseum. I think everybody knows where that one's at. Not, well, as far as church history goes, not very a delightful place. Okay, and that one, I love that picture of the London Bridge. Okay, and the last one, sorry, I couldn't help myself. All right, I'll go back to one of the other ones. Couldn't help myself. Sorry about that. Look, there's still some things in this life that amaze me. Looking at some of these things here, it kind of amazed me. When I look at my kids, you know, the love that I have for each and every one of them, I didn't know that I could love someone so much that I'd be willing to sacrifice things for them so that they could have, you know, the necessities of life, but also sacrifice so they could, you know, have things that they want, okay? And I'm still amazed that after 10 years of, almost 10 years of being together, that my wife's still with me at times. Some of the things she has to put up with. Anybody that's been married for, say, going on 34 years back there in the back knows that there's some things that you got to deal with at times that aren't real pleasant, you know? My wife still loves me, and she supports me, and she's especially been very supportive since, you know, started being up here and doing this on an every other week basis. Because let's face it, Jim, I know you know this too, and you got to have support on the home front because it takes time and you need quiet time to, you know, to come up here and to be able to speak and about God's word. Then there's some things that I used to think were really cool. I remember when I first got my job with the city, the very first thing I bought was a high-definition television because they were just coming out about around about 10 years ago. And you go in there when they first come, oh, look at this. I mean, the picture's so awesome, you know, and it's so great, and you just want to have one of those. And now 10 years later, we're used to it. It's just kind of like, meh, you know. They're just glorified computer monitors. That's what I call TVs, you know. Here's a good one. When I was a kid wanting to become an adult, that kind of amazed me. And then you get to adulthood and you got to worry about paying the bills and feeding the kids and making the car payments and things like that. And now you're wishing you could go back to being a kid. So now I'm kind of catching myself wanting to go back to being a kid. But all of that and these things here don't compare to these things. Okay? And I want you to notice the difference. All right? Anybody tell me the difference? Yeah. That one I love. That's the Rockies. I always love those pictures of the Rocky Mountains. But yeah, listen. Those things that are man-made cannot compare to the things that God has made. And the one thing that never ceases to amaze me is that the God, not the God, but our God, okay, our God that created that and that and that wants us to have a relationship with Him. You ever really think about that? Because that's what I was thinking about this week. I was out there in California, and I was sitting on the beach, and you know, you kind of got to ignore the trash that's in the water. That is one true thing about California. There's a lot of trash out there in the ocean. But, you know, you look out there, it's just nothing but ocean out there, and you're sitting there on the beach. It gives you appreciation of what all God has created, but also that God wants to have a relationship with us. The air that we breathe, the mountains, the valleys, the hills, the Wabash River, the Little Wabash River, you know, all those things. Does that not make your head spin, though, a little bit when you really think about it? Is that these things here that are so beautiful to us, and not only that, but even the very body that houses our soul, you know, that's the temple, and the way that it works, that same God that created that wants to have a relationship with us. And He wants, you know, and reciprocal too. Titus 3, 1 through 7. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves. Listen to that part. Okay, is that not a little closer to home? For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and in envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, going back to my wife for a second, I can be very hard to love at times. Anybody that's been married for any stretch of time, if you were, we know there's times when we can be very hard to love, men and women alike. But it's also at the times whenever I'm the hardest to love, that I'm almost at the most humble too. Okay, my wife's love has a way of humbling me in the way she accepts me. Now, God is no different. Okay, so I think back to a time in my life when God wasn't a high priority at all in my life, okay? And there was that time. And I look at my 7-year-old son out there, who just turned his head toward me there, and some of the things that he does that drive me nuts, and my thought process is why I oughta, and then I think, wow, that's how does God not get that attitude with me, you know? Because He would have every right to, during those times whenever He was not a high priority in my life. But thank God He wasn't, because He was rich in mercy and grace and forgiveness to me. All right? And still, at this time, it's easy for Christians to look out in the world too and wonder how in the world God could still love the human family enough when we see all of these things going on around us. Now, once again, I still think that's the 24/7 news media cycle going on around us, because that's all you hear about is the bad things. But we, as a human, as God's family, cannot let that influence our perspective on the world, because the way God views the world is people that need Jesus. Just the same way that we needed Jesus prior to our coming into relationship with Him. And we were lost, and He saved us. And not only did He save us, you read here in Titus, but He gave us a part of Him. He gave us a part of Him. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And that phrase there, when it says He poured out upon us richly, it means He didn't hold back. I mean, everything that the Spirit can offer us, He gave it to us. And when you look at Scripture and you really study it, do you really realize the lengths at which God has gone to so that we can have a choice to have a relationship with Him? I mean, really. You read the whole story of Jesus. You read about how He's blessed us abundantly. Paul tells us in Ephesians, talks about how He's blessed us by sending the Holy Spirit to us. You really think about that? I mean, He gives us everything. And you and I are living proof of God's mercy, because on Calvary's cross, He didn't take His own sins upon Him, because you have to personalize it, don't you? Personalize it. He didn't take His own sins. He took my sins. He took mine. Okay? Took mine, He took everybody else's. So that I don't have to bear the punishment. Because I deserve the punishment. There's no doubt about it. Okay? We all deserve to not spend eternity with God because of the way that we were. But now, because we've been washed in water, now we do deserve to go to heaven. I know that sounds like a weird phrase to say. But keep being faithful. It's our reward. That's what God is saying. It's saying, you know what? You're a Christian, and you've been immersed in water. This is the gift that I'm freely going to give you. Just take up your cross daily and follow after my Son Jesus. That's it. And because of what Jesus has done, I get to walk in fellowship with God. Not only do I get to walk in fellowship with God, but I get to walk in fellowship with each and every one of you too that have been immersed in water. for salvation. And God's mercy is available to anyone. Anyone. That's it. You know? No pre-existing conditions. Yo, pre-existing conditions. Let's see here. You did this, you did this, you did this. You're not covered. No, you're covered. God's grace, His love and His mercy, and Jesus' blood especially, covers you in full. It's a full insurance policy. All right? God has given us His grace as a gift. He's given us heaven. He's given us forgiveness. And He walks with us every day. He guides us. He protects us. He blesses us. And not only all of those things, but He took all of those things up and He wrapped them up into what? What's the text say? Through who? Jesus Christ. All of those things. Our Savior. All of those things. Love, Gracie. Love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, love, everything. That was all wrapped up in Jesus. So what does that tell you that we need to be a reflection of? Because there's people out there who need to know. Let me back up on that point. Let me start over again. There's people in this world, because they look at the way that they've been treated by the world for the things that they've done, it's almost like they expect to be judged. They expect to be treated the way that they think they should be treated for the things that they've done. Does that make sense? They don't expect to be treated with mercy and grace and forgiveness and love. And that's what John was talking about. You know, they expect people to look down upon them as X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. You can think of the things. Don't look at them like that at all, because that's not being a reflection of Jesus at all. Look at them as sinners who are in need of a Savior. That's it. Because what were we? Sinners who needed a Savior. That's it. That's all we were. We're just on the other side of the equation now, and now God has asked us to go out there and reach out to those people who we used to be. If you haven't figured it out, all I'm doing is I'm just rewording Titus chapter 1, 3, 1 through 7. Okay? But just to wrap up, never forget that Jesus left heaven. All of its glories, all of its comforts. We can't even get off the couch sometimes to go do something. Let alone leave heaven and come down here knowing that we're going to die the cruelest death known to mankind at the end of our life. Jesus accepted a manger. Was He deserving of a royal birth announcement? Was He deserving of it? Oh yeah, He was. I mean, come on, this is Jesus we're talking about. He's the King. Kids, when they're little, and they start learning about Jesus, what's one of the questions they always ask about Jesus? What did He look like? That's a question my kids have asked me a dozen times. What did He look like? Well, what's their answer? It doesn't matter what He looks like. It's like when we tell people, I mean, don't judge people based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character, right? That's Martin Luther King, right? Well, how should we be looking at Jesus? About what's on the inside. That's all that ever mattered, okay? It was by design that He was never given a royal birth announcement. It was by design that He never was treated like a king while He was on this earth. It was never His design to be a very well, good-looking young man, you know, somebody that the eye would be appealing to. That wasn't the point, because what God wanted people to be attracted to in Jesus was what was on the inside. It's all those characteristics that I've beaten to death so far this morning. Do I need to tell you what those characteristics are again or not? No? Okay. That's the reason why we seek and follow after Jesus, for what's on the inside. Those characteristics always better be coming from our inside too, because God knows the heart. And the whole life of Jesus to me is just an amazing story. It's way more amazing than a sports game. It's way more amazing than these man-made creations. He was born of a virgin. You ever really think about that? That the Lord looks upon Mary and says, "You're going to be the one." And it happened. That's it. I mean, we appreciate the gravity of that miracle. And it all culminates in Jesus living His life out and going to the cross. So once again, so that we can have the hope of eternal life. and the King and the Creator of everything, all of those beautiful pictures we looked at, wants me to be with Him for eternity in heaven. And one of these days, and this is the day that we all should be looking forward to because it could happen like literally right now. You don't know. Not even Jesus Himself knows. God knows the time that when the heavens, the trumpet's going to blow and the heavens are going to roll back and Jesus is going to come and He's going to take His church home, dead and alive. That's the day that we look forward to, is to be in with Him eternally. Told you it was going to be short. This morning I want to extend the invitation to anyone who has not obeyed the gospel. You want to learn how to become a child of God, how to walk in that relationship with Him, because He wants you to. You are worthy. Each and every person on the planet, all of humankind, is worthy to be able to be called a child of God if they simply put their full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, obey the gospel, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. If you're struggling with things in your life, if God's not a priority in your life right now, we want to help you to make it a priority. Because there's nothing more fulfilling than a life that is spent serving God. So whatever your need might be this morning, I would ask you to come and stand and sing this invitation song that Jim has picked out for us, number 675.